Hey guys, this is Greg, and before we start the podcast, I want to give a quick shout out to our very first sponsor, CSS, Centralized Showing Service. Everybody knows these guys. They've been around since 1996. CSS has a great solution to provide agents with a quick, courteous, and accurate way to schedule their showings. Kevin Hughes joined the company last year, and they're really getting things rolling. Recently, they announced a partnership with CoreLogic that will give agents a way to quickly access scheduling information. They can also book, cancel, and reschedule showings online, deliver and receive automated showing notifications via email or text messaging. They can edit listing information and collect and share feedback. This is all integrated via SSO with a Matrix. So a big thanks to them, and check them out at showings.com. Seriously, check them out. Also, if any of our listeners are interested in sponsoring the Industry Relations Podcast, please drop me a line at gregrobertson@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and now on with the show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Industry Relations. This is Rob Hahn, one of your co-hosts. In what is a busy, busy news week for the real estate industry, my co-host, Greg Robertson, is on the line. Greg.
Hola. How's it going, man?
Oh, you know, busy. And, you know,
it's a blogger's paradise here. It's a blogger's paradise.
It kind of is. But, you know, we've had like really slow weeks, months. You know, nothing's happened for a while. And then all of a sudden, like, boom.
You know. Yeah, you had Upstream and now this. I mean, I know.
It's been a big week. And, of course, you know, it's like the final week of school, you know, here in Texas. So that I've got all of that going on, you know, trying to figure out how to keep the little ones distracted when there's no school.
Yeah, we've got a couple of those issues, but fortunately it's just down the line. They're out on the 23rd. So
So you got a little bit of time to prep.
Yeah.
So there's a lot in the news, but I kind of feel like there's pretty much one thing that's, you know, on everybody's minds, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I called it the Zoffers.
The Zoffers. That's right.
It's funny. I actually tweeted out once I wrote my post and I called it Zoffers. And I tweeted to Spencer. I put him in. I says, listen, you should have the marketing department really contact me anytime you're naming new things. And he actually, he tweeted back. He's like, okay, I'll have to remember that or something like that. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. I don't know. Zoffers. Sure.
Why Zestimates.
Not? Zestimates. Right? Zoffers. Yeah. Just say Zest. You know, Zinvestors. Well,
can we start with that though?
Sure.
With the naming in a sense, and really, I just think they did. They and I think they do this a lot. Is they missed a great opportunity, or an opportunity to how to really, you know, pitch this to the industry, right?
Right.
I think that Instant Offers, while it may be a good name for the consumers, like they say Instant Offers, and that gets the clicks going and everything else. But as far as like presenting that naming convention to the industry, I think it was a horrible idea. I think if they, can you imagine if the narrative was now is like, you know, Zillow offers a matchmaking service with sellers and agents, mm-hmm. right? If you put that kind of, that framing of matchmaking service in the narrative instead of this offers, right, which sounds very like a broker real estate term, right?
Of course it is. Yeah, write an offer, make an offer.
Right, rocket, write an offer, make an offer, right? It's just the messaging, again, just – and there's no reason why you can't have both. You can call – you know, the click says Instant Offers, but what you're presenting to the industry is your matchmaking service. I just think it was a missed opportunity, and a lot of the blowback that they're getting really is really self-inflicted, and it has to do with how – they came out to the industry and announced this. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to that, right? Having said that, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not privy to, you know, how the marketing department, you know, decided what they did. It does occur to me, though, like those guys are probably the best in the industry right now in terms of marketing to consumers. So I have to assume that, you know, the phrase Instant Offer was probably focus grouped. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I agree with that. I think it is. But I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to like use that same naming convention to how you present that to the industry, what the product is you're selling to the realtors.
Right. I mean, I guess the question that I have there is, did they bounce that name off their agent advisory committee or not? Right. And, you know, part of me thinks that they really might have. Right. you know, something big like this, a big product launch, I mean, why have an agent advisory committee at all if you can't go to them with something like this and say, you know, what do you think? And I guess I feel like they probably got a green light from that advisory group. Again, I have no idea whether they did any of this, whether this was, you know, any of that. But, and I do think they underestimated, because I think that Zillow consistently underestimates the level of hatred out there, right? The level of paranoia.
You keep using like the, you know, the word hatred. I really think the better word is fear, right?
Okay. I mean, maybe fear is the motivation, but come on. Like there are some people out there who hate Zillow.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw posts on Facebook talking about, I hope Spencer burns in hell, right? It's like, what did Spencer ever do to you, right?
Yeah, give me Christmas.
Did he like leave you at the altar? Like, what's the deal, right? So I think those guys probably underestimated the level of, you know, blowback. I suspect that they expected they were going to get some, because they always do. But I don't know if they understood the level. And again, the question I have is whether the agent advisory group or people they talked to, you know, okayed it. I mean, to me, it's entirely possible, right? Because presumably the folks who are going to be on something like Zillow's advisory group aren't probably the Zillow haters, right?
Right.
So, well, you know, I don't know. But certainly, like, we are in a firestorm now. Now it's like everyone is talking about it, obviously. I suspect that a lot of brokers are talking about it. I suspect that there are a lot of brokers who, you know, do see this as Zillow venturing into the brokerage realm, the brokerage sphere. I mean, and they are just now weighed in. So, you know.
Yeah, well, just for clarity and to maybe some of our listeners not, I mean, I can't imagine that they haven't heard of it, but let me just go through what it is, right?
Yeah.
So this is a test program. They've been saying this pretty emphatically. It's in Vegas and Orlando right now. And it's basically a response to consumers who are looking for easier ways to sell, right?
Right.
They've basically hand-selected about 15, I think it's 15 large private investors.
That's right.
And the way that it works is that, you know, somebody gone Zillow, they can go to this page or whatnot, and they can kind of go to the instant offer, and they basically have three options. They can, once they receive an offer, they can accept it and sell it directly to that investor, or they can accept an offer and use an agent to manage and kind of close the transaction. Or they basically can say, you know, forget about that offer. And then, you know, if they've developed a relationship with the agent that kind of got back to them, they can list it on the MLS and use an agent, right?
That's right.
So that's the kind of shitstorm that's happened where people think that's just crazy. Right?
There is one small detail, though, that's important, because I wrote about this in a couple of blog posts in the last few days, right? And that is that a consumer doesn't just click on some link. You know, it's not like he hits a button, instant offer, and then, you know, I get sent a bunch of stuff. Like, they actually have to fill out a form.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's very similar to like the opendoor.com or Offerpad process, where you go in and you say, this is my home, this is my address. You know, some real basic question, how many bed, how many bath, you know, kitchen has stainless steel appliances, whatever. And then you get the offer, right?
Right.
So again, like, I think that's important, because one of the firestorm, you know, controversies is, you know, Zillow's duping consumers somehow. I'm like, that's nonsense. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, somebody says something about, you know, throwing the consumers, you know, in front of like this rabid pack of investors. I'm like, that's nonsense. Like, the consumer went in and filled out a form, right? Asking for this. So that's an important detail, right? That I think is relevant to this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's going to actually, that helps out the agent tremendously when they're doing a CMA.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So it gives them more information to kind of put their CMA together to get back to the seller and develop that relationship as much as they can.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, reading, there was one agent, Veronica Figueroa.
That's right.
Out in Orlando, who I think this was a few days ago, already had received 48 seller leads.
Right.
Holy shit, dude. That's amazing.
As an aside, Greg, I just have to ask, I mean, isn't this the best thing that ever happened for Cloud CMA?
You know, I always hate when we have to talk about my products on the podcast. It's really a shame to kind of bring that up.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to let you pitch your product, but, I, you know, since I'm not Cloud CMA, I can say, like, goddamn, I'll say this. If those agents are sending out, like, the typical CMA off the MLS, Like, yo. Well,
I will say this. I do believe Veronica is a client. So
you believe? You don't know? You didn't check?
So I'm sure she's using the best tool available out there to get that business.
I'm just saying this could be a nice, you know, speaking of marketing and promotion, I'm just saying, Greg, you know, this could be a nice nice bump for you. But yeah. Anyway, so enough about
who knows.
Look, I mean, I've written two posts about this already, right? New lengthy ones, like super long. One of them was in response to a realtor, you know, broker, you know, who just kind of went off on Zillow and, you know, so on and so forth. And I think the thing that bothers me about this is there's so much sort of hypocrisy. There's so much lack of awareness of what the issue is with this. And there's a lot of folks out there, I feel, who are just virtue signaling. You know, they don't like, if it's Zillow, it must be bad. And, you know, come up with all these excuses without realizing, look, I mean, you're criticizing stuff that's been going on for decades, right? Like, right. One of the points that was brought up was, you know, these CMAs are not legitimate because the agent hasn't seen the house. I'm like, that's been the way it is for I don't know how many years, right? Every agent in the world, you know, would love to send out a CMA sight unseen to get the listing appointment, then walk into the listing appointment, sit down with the homeowners, you know, discuss the whole situation, walk through the house, and then give an actual pricing opinion, right? So I'm like, what is the big deal, right?
And yeah, those people initial are CMAs are merely going to be. And they're being, I mean, a CMA can be used in different ways.
Right.
A lot of them just spark a conversation.
Right.
Hey, here's what's going on. I have all the information that's going on in that neighborhood. Here it is.
Right.
At that point, a lot of agents who have local knowledge, they know that neighborhood. They know the floor plans.
Right.
They don't have to see everything to know everything about that. But, you know, the smart ones are going to follow up. They're going to, you know, give those guys a call, the prospective sellers.
Right.
They're going to you know, knock on their doors. They're going to do a lot of different things. It's just, it's a conversation starter. I mean, it's, yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so I just feel like this is just another example of, you know, what I like to call Zillow fever, right? That anything in our industry that mentions Zillow somehow turns into this like giant thing. And I guess, you know, like I get it, but I don't get it. You know, I get the fear. I get the whole, they're big and, you know, all this nonsense, whatever. But I'm like, who cares? Right? Who cares? I mean, at the end of the day, and this was one of my points I was making, I don't feel like a good realtor can be replaced. I really don't. Right? You know, I'm using a realtor right now. You know, my friend Blaine, you know, he's done like 4 transactions for me in the last 5 years. Like, you know, I don't go on Zillow, right? I don't go on any of these things because I've got a realtor. And I don't know where all this fear is coming from. Maybe it's coming from all the people who don't feel that secure, you know, who aren't doing what they ought to be doing as like an actual live human being who knows the market and is doing the sphere communication and is following up with past clients and all of those things. I don't quite get it. I mean, do you understand this?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're exactly right. I don't think the people that got their heads down actually doing the business of selling real estate really give 2 shits about it. You know, they look at it as a tool, like the newspaper was a tool, mm-hmm. and they're going to invest there or they're not going to invest there. It depends on their business, but it's a lot of fear. I mean, but you know, this industry has gone through such dramatic changes in the past, you know, let's say 15 years. I mean, where, you know, these guys were just the gatekeepers and they had a way of doing business and consumers had to come to them. And that's all been flipped upside down. You add on to that, the fact that many of them, they just, for whatever reason, hate the need that they have to kind of talk their sellers away from this estimate, right? I see a lot of comments about, oh, if I had a dime for every time I had to tell a seller what the real price was, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, it's a mixture of all those different things. People fear change. And, you know, this industry has definitely had a lot of it. I mean, not as much as travel agents, right? But there's some positive sides here as well. But, yeah, it's tough.
I guess, but you know, it's like people fear change. I get that. But, you know, for me, the angle that I took and what's so frustrating about for me, I guess, is, you know, I do like to think of the real estate as a profession, right? You know, at least especially, you know, realtors, you know, the people who have subscribed to the code of ethics. I do like to think of them as a profession, you know, that's not just out there like slinging houses. You know, they're doing something more than that. And for that group to just lose their collective shits about this, right? At a time when like one of the biggest changes that we have to deal with is the fact that the realtor movement has kind of sort of stalled out and come to a standstill, right? Like to me, that bothers me more than anything else. You know, I get accused, you know, all the time of being some Zillow shill and stuff. And, you know, as I've disclosed here and elsewhere, like I do have a business relationship with those guys. You know, they don't know I'm recording this. They don't own my opinion. But the thing that bothers me the most is all this irrational Zillow hate, because I feel like it takes away the focus from where we need to be focused. You know, so in the content instant office, they just give you one example of this, right? You know, in the course of like my consulting work, I've done work with brokerages on products that I feel like would be extremely helpful, you know, for agents to make more money. The specific thing is sphere communication. If you are an agent and you call your sphere and you communicate with them, or you call your past clients, you communicate with them, stay in touch, you let them know you care, you're going to build a business, right? The number of brokers I've spoken to who says that they cannot get their agents to do that is astonishing. Do you know what I'm saying? It's remarkable. It's actually mind-blowing. How many managers, how many brokers, how many coaches will say to me, this is a great idea. And yes, you know, the agent should absolutely be doing this once every 3 weeks. And then, you know, like this whole plan for sphere communication and staying in touch with their past clients, but I can't get them to do it. Like, that's mind-blowing, right? Like the one major advantage you have as a human being over a computer program is the ability to go face to face, or you know, have a human interaction with their neighbors, with their sphere, with their clients, and they don't do that. And they're going to just flip out about Zillow's instant offer. It's just nonsense. Like that's what's so frustrating about it.
Yeah, it is. And there's so many tools out there for sphere of communication, right, too, that vendors have created specifically for that. And the stats like astounding, like,
right,
you know, 90% of seller or of people who work with an agent would work with them, you know, again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen that on marketing material everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's so, like 16% of buyers actually work with the agent they worked with.
16%. Yeah. But, right? Yeah, It is, I mean, who knows? But that could be because of churn or something else. But I doubt it. I think it's exactly what you're saying, is they're not keeping in touch, right?
No, and I, the way I kind of see it is that the agents who are doing that, right? The agents who kind of, you know, have been a pillar, you know, they're a mainstay, mm-hmm, you know, kind of they own their farm, you know, they sort of own the neighborhood. Everybody in the neighborhood knows who they are. You know, they're active in the PTA, they're active in, you know, whatever community organizations. They're part and fabric of that community. They're not worried about this. They, you know, like they don't give a crap, right? And one of the points that I made was, and I do think this is true, right? If somebody's going to sell their home to an investor at a huge steep discount from, you know, quote market value, like that dude was never going to list with an agent anyway, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, am I crazy in that?
If he's going to sell to an investor, I don't know. I mean, it's going to depend on. I mean, if an agent, you know, calls him up and says, listen, this offer you got from an investor is, you know, is 20% low that I can get you. And I've got a buyer right now I can show you that's going to give you 20%. It might take a little bit longer, right?
Right.
I think they've got a pretty good shot. I mean, to me, you know, this is a whole other subject in a sense. There is a kind of a dark side to these kind of instant, you know, these get money now offers,
tell me,
right?
What's the dark side?
And I'm not saying the Zillow and this particular thing, but what I really do, when you start seeing these things that come up where it's like, you know, need money fast, you know, come here.
Sure.
There's commercials all over the, you know, the TV about, I got $1,200 in 2 days, right?
Right. Payday loans and all that. Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Now, when you talk about a home, this asset, which has traditionally been, yeah, it takes you a while to kind of sell that home. It's not something you can kind of just, you know, trade like your next paycheck or some gold or something, right? And what I see happening is that in those types of situations, those companies are really preying upon two kind of classes of people, you know, the uneducated and the poor.
Okay.
Right? There's a reason why there's payday loan things. They're not in like, you know, affluent suburbia, mm-hmm, right? Where do they kind of pop themselves up at, right? In communities where you have a lot of lower middle class or poor people, right? Sure. And again, maybe it's open door that happens too, or this thing where let's fast forward 10 years in the future. and somebody looks at all the data of all the people that are taking these instant offers, or they're taking, you know, open doors policy or whoever it might be. They go, oh, you know, we've done the research, we bought the list, and it looks like our target customer is somebody who doesn't have a college education and has got a really shitty credit score.
Right.
Let's target those guys.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And to me, that's, you know, that's capitalism, baby.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah. You know, to me, there is a, and this is a little bit off topic to all this stuff. I do, anytime I see that stuff, it's just, it causes me a little bit of like concern to say, is this where this is going? You know, is now your home, because it can be so quickly sold to the guy rubbing his hands together who's got all the money, does that become another kind of avenue to these kind of predatory types of behaviors? Not to say that, you know, there's good things that happen to that stuff, but I mean, there is to me a little bit of an inkling of maybe that stuff goes this way.
Okay, fine. So let me put on my, I'm a liberal Democrat hat for a second.
Okay.
Right. You know, I'm going to vote for Elizabeth Warren, right? I'm all about, you know, whatever the issue of the day is, but socialism overall.
But okay. Hold on, before you do that, I mean, yeah. Valid concern?
Know, so what I'm saying is, let me actually argue that it is valid and take it down that road is what I'm trying to get at, right? Because okay. I don't know how valid it is, but let's just say that that's the case. The issue then becomes, clearly, well, first of all, then that's not Zillow's problem, right? That's these 15 institutional investors, right? It's the Blackstone groups and all of those guys. You know, to your point, the guys who are rubbing their hands together with money going, you know, I'm going to swoop in and through predatory marketing, I'm going to buy the homes of, you know, these poor uneducated folks out from under them and just sell them down the river, right?
Well, yeah, but there's enablers to that as well that, you know, are part of complicit in that.
Right, right, fine. So the first thing that comes to mind is that not the job of the regulators? If regulators have any job at all, that should sounds like it should be it. Just the way that CFPB came in and put a, you know, stop to a lot of the really predatory lending practices. Are we talking about now maybe HUD or CFPB taking on, if you're going to invest in homes, here's like a disclosure form you have to produce, whatnot, right? That's number one. I mean, it seems to me if we say that is valid, right, that, you know, the folks who are going to be, you know, really hurt by this are the less educated, you know, working class poor people who own a home who are going to end up taking a real loss. Okay. That's number one. That to me, that seems like a job for the government.
Oh, not yeah. For the government. Zillow. I'm the government. I'm here to help.
Right. Okay. You know, well, but you know me, like I'm putting on my Elizabeth Warren hat. Okay. So okay. Government is a giant force for good. The second thing, though, that comes out of that is if that is true, okay, are we saying that investors are bad and therefore realtors should never represent investors? To me, that's a logical conclusion of that. If what we're saying is investors in housing, right, are taking advantage of the poor, they're taking advantage of the uneducated, then at the very least, realtors who subscribe to a code of ethics should certainly refrain from, you know, from working for an investor. Am I wrong in that logic?
No, I think you could argue that, you know, working one-offs with investors and not really institutionalizing this as a practice, there's two different things there, right?
I don't see that as different, because the second part of this is, if we think that about this situation, how in the hell are we justifying car dealerships and what they do? Because again, I've written about this with Open Door. I've written about this with my own experience. I've written about this, you know, with Instant Offers. But, you know, every day in this country, millions of people go into their dealership and trade their car in, right? Knowing that they're going to take a huge loss, right? Like nobody's under any delusions about, you know, how much money they're going to lose by trading the car in, right?
No, I understand your argument.
And here's the final piece of this, or two other thoughts on this. One is, I would love to see the stats of that sort of target market, the poor, uneducated people who nonetheless still own a home. I'm not convinced that number is real high. Just because, and buying a home, you know, the American dream, it's not that easy. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're really, you know, working class, poor, uneducated, it's kind of hard to buy a house.
Yeah, it might be through inheritance, might be through other means.
It might be.
It does happen. Yeah.
It might be. So that's number one. Number two, I just have a problem assuming that consumers are idiots. Do you know what I mean? I just do. So let's take this poor, uneducated, working class person who goes on Zillow, sees this instant offer thing. Okay. The next thing they have to do is they fill out a form. Do you know what I mean? So they fill out a form. When they do, it's not like they're presented with one, here's the top offer from Blackstone Group who wants to charge you 10% and buy your home for 20% market value. They get a bunch of offers along with CMAs from agents, from realtors to say, I want to represent you. Here's what I think your house is worth and here's what I can sell it for. Okay. If that poor uneducated person chooses the quick cash over the realtor's offer, I'm saying that person has made a choice for whatever is going on in his life. Maybe he needs some money for medical expenses right away. He can't wait 90 days, right? Maybe he's just got relocated and he needs to move right away. Like, what is so wrong about assuming just because somebody doesn't have a college degree doesn't mean that they're idiots, right? Like, they still can make decisions about their financial lives, their financial decisions, without some realtor standing over their shoulder, you know, sort of correcting every little thing. That's one of the things that really offended me about all of this, is this notion that consumers are idiots. And I'm saying even the uneducated, even the poor, I just have trouble saying that you guys are idiots and you can't make your make decisions for yourself in whatever is going on in your life that is best for you. Because it seems to me, if you're not in a hurry, there's no reason to take an investor's offer, right? Like, the real estate agent is always going to do better than what an investor's offer should be, just from a money standpoint, right?
Yeah. Again, I don't know if, you know, so I posited this with uneducated and poor, but, you know, it's just, there are some smart people that have been hoodwinked by smarter people. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders and everything else. So it's not just about this. It's just like, to me, you know, it's just this kind of like feeling I have. It's not like there's a ton of positive things, right? I went to CarMax and sold my car.
Right.
Because I didn't want to deal with all the shit. Right?
Exactly.
I get it. Right. Yeah. But there's another side to that.
Okay. What's the other side?
The other side is that some people really, really are predators towards people who are strapped and cash strapped, and they, whether those people are smart or not, they're going to prey upon those weaknesses and take advantage of them. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but that does happen in a lot of industries. It could be, you know, investors in Boca Raton, you know, trying to get elderly people to, you know, buy a certain stock. I mean, there's, you know, there are stuff like that happens out there. And I don't think it's, you know, really kind of unheard of to kind of be aware of that situation.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it. Right. No, and I do get it. Like I said, though, is if there are two offers, I'm poor, I'm uneducated, I have two offers. One says I can, you know, I want to buy your house right now for $100,000. And here's a CMA from a realtor saying your house is worth $150,000, right? $50,000 is a big deal, right? $5,000 is a big deal. If time were not of the essence, if for whatever reason that consumer, that homeowner did not need to sell instantly, I think they're going to take the realtor offer. And if that's
You're kind of flipping there. I mean, you're saying, I thought you were starting off saying, I don't see why they wouldn't do it with an investor, right?
No. What I'm saying is, if time is more important, right? In other words, if they need the money right away, then yeah, they'll take the investor, but they'll do it knowing that they're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, yeah. Right? No, I mean, I think there are some stop gaps here. I think there's some, I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
If you look at it, I mean, just of what they've done, you know, what was that article Brad wrote? It was like, it was only like 8 weeks and they spent less than $1 million, right? I mean, on this. I think it's going to be a fucking huge success. I think these guys are going to.
No doubt. I think we're going to see like agents lining up, you know, throwing money at Zillow and just going, you know, shut up and take my money. Right? I mean, I really see that happening. Is Zillow successful creating seller leads?
No, it's they're going to be successful.
And it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy, crazy town.
But before we leave this topic off, I do need to make this one point, okay? If investors are so evil and they're always taking advantage of the uneducated and the poor, dude, real estate agents should probably stop investing in real estate.
Well, again, you're really just, right? you're kind of like lumping every investor in one, you know, one silo here. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, obviously not all investors are evil. I'm just saying, I think there's, you know, there are kind of what they, you know, kind of bad actors out there. And sometimes these types of things lend themselves to bad actors to take advantage of this.
Sure. And
that's, I just think we all have to be kind of aware of that. And the government is not here to help. I mean, right now, you know, they're gutting net neutrality and our privacy as far as from the cable carriers can look at all of our, you know, previous browsing history and all that stuff, as long as it's on their network. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff that's going on that is the exact opposite of the government helping, right? So we just, I think it should be part of the conversation, right?
Right. And if the conversation were, hey, Zillow's doing instant offers, and while this is, you know, good for some consumers, while this is good for some agents, you know, we're concerned about bad, you know, some horrible Wall Street money grubbing evil bastard coming in and taking advantage of the poor, the elderly, and the uneducated. Okay, look, NAR is a very large political player. They could certainly go and start talking about, hey, we might need some regulation of investment activity. Okay, I'm okay with that, right? Yeah. You're okay with that. And I'm an opponent of government. I think government is a, you know, necessary evil. But even I would look at that and say, yeah, you know, it might not be a bad idea to look at if there are any real abuses, you know, the way we saw with predatory lending. I have no problem with that. But you and I both know that is not why this went on. You know what I'm saying? You and I both know that is not the reason why the instant offer became like the hot controversial topic, right? The fear that everyone seems to have is that now Zillow is going to get in between them and the seller, between them and the homeowner. And my response to that is Zillow doesn't have feet on the ground. Zillow's a freaking computer algorithm. It's a website based in Seattle, right? If you're a real local real estate agent and you don't feel like you're part of that community, that's on you. That's not on Zillow. If Zillow can insert itself between you and somebody that you've been working with and has been communicating with for the last 10 years, that's not on Zillow. That's on you.
Totally agree.
I don't know why that is not the focus of this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm saying this as somebody who has a realtor that I've been working with for the past 5 years, and there's no chance in hell that I would let Zillow or Realtor.com or any website anywhere get in between me and that guy.
Unless time that was of the essence.
And if time was of the essence, this is how it would go. Hey, Blaine, I got to sell this house in the next 7 days. Do you have anybody that could buy this house? No, I'm going to go on Zillow and do instant offers and sell this to an investor. That's how that conversation goes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so my take is, look, you 1.2 million, whatever the number of realtors that are out there, how many of you feel that way? Right? How many of you feel like, you know what? My clients, my neighbors, my sphere, they would not make a move real estate related without calling me. And if the answer is 100,000 that feel that way, then I look at it and say, maybe the industry only needs about 100,000 agents. I mean, that is a possibility.
Right.
You know? So yeah, I think it's really illustrative how, of all things, right, this issue blew up like this. That this issue.
And I think going back to what we started the podcast with, the messaging was just horrible. I absolutely believe that this could have been a big win on the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just in the way they presented it. If they presented this as a matchmaking service and that was the naming convention and everything else was centered around that, right, instead of this concept of like calling it what it was on the site, I think it could have gone a lot differently.
Maybe. And again, since I don't know what sort of research the marketing team did before they launched this thing, and it may be that by the time they actually go forward with a real product, in other words, this is still a test in two markets, right? So maybe they learn from this and Zillow says, okay, we're going to go forward, that, you know, national rollout, and we'll call it matchmaker, you know, home matchmaker, whatever, right? Maybe they can do it at that point. But there is something that's interesting about this that we should talk about, which is this. If the marketing team at Zillow did any research, I suspect what they came back with and why they chose this was they're saying the consumers respond better to instant offer. Okay. And Zillow will always, always prioritize the consumer over the agent.
No, I believe that. Right? But why, you don't have to call what the package is you're selling to the agent what it's called on the site, right? That's merely kind of a feature. right? You could say, this is our matchmaking service. Here's what happens. Mm-hmm. A button appears on the site that says instant offer, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be that the thing that attracted, you know, the shiny object that attracted the potential seller to click there does not have to be the naming convention for the thing you were trying to sell, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm always bad at these analogies, but you know, you don't call Excel sell, right? So it's, you know, it's just a thing that happens.
I get your point. Yeah. I mean,
they can be bifurcated. I mean, they can be two separate things. It's not a problem.
Let me ask you this. So if this thing is successful, and I think you and I both think that it will be.
Right? It's not going to be successful. It's going to be huge, dude.
It's going to be ginormously successful, right? And Cloud CMA will be purchased by Zillow like tomorrow because, you know, they need a way of getting really, you know, good CMAs out to people as quickly as possible.
Blah, blah, blah.
But the thing that I wonder about is why couldn't other people do this before Zillow came along, right? In other words, yeah, I suppose scale is one thing, but, you know, Realage is a big company, right? You know, Remax is a big company. Keller Williams is a big company. Like, why couldn't those guys reach out to the 15 Wall Street investors and say, hey, we want to form a relationship. And every time one of our agents goes on a listing appointment, right, like they're going to walk in with, here's a bid from an investor and here's what I can sell your house for.
They're not, I mean, those guys, I mean, they're franchisors, yeah. Right? I mean, their business model is, you know, selling franchises. I mean, they're not a technology. I mean, they have vendors that kind of handle their technology.
Right? No, I know, but this is not a technology play.
I think competition will be coming. But as far as those guys being innovators, I mean, if they were innovators, there would be no Zillow, right?
But see, here's the funny. No, you're right. But here's the funny thing. Okay, Zillow's doing this. Actually, this is one of the few times I've seen Zillow do something in a reactionary fashion. They didn't come up with this idea, right? Open Door did.
Yeah, it's a bit different, but I mean, it's in the same wheelhouse. Yeah.
Right. So if Open Door comes out with, like, they're the innovator in this. Zillow looks at this and goes, oh, yeah, this could be a problem. Let's come up with something. Okay. And here's what I think is actually sort of funny about this. I feel like Zillow did this thinking agents are going to love us because we're fending off the Open Door threat. Right? I really believe this. I really think, you know, Greg Schwartz, Spencer, I think all those guys sat in the room and said, you know what? This would actually make the agents love us. Because now consumers that we all own, we own because we're Zillow, like we have 70 million of them on our site. Now there's a way for the agent to be involved. Whereas if Open Door, OfferPad, you know, Zhome, you know, any of these guys become hugely successful, agents completely cut out, right? And instead of thanks, they're getting hate mail. I actually think there's something ironic about that.
Yeah, it's like Trump saying Farm Comey was like, I thought they'd be happy with me, right?
Kind of.
I thought you guys would be.
Kind of. Well,
I mean, not really. But I mean, here's the thing, though. It's to me, it's like what I wonder what's going on there is, I mean, what do they have? 20 industry relation titles there, right? I mean,
this
is,
yeah.
This podcast is kind of like the title of this podcast is almost like a riff on the ridiculousness of that. But has the C-suite at Zillow have said, you know, as far as you're saying, like the agent advisory team or anybody else, you know what? We're never going to make this industry happy. So it's just like worthless to go to them and ask because they're just always going to say, you can't do that, right? So have they just basically said, fuck it, you know, we're going to do what we're going to do. And that's it. I mean, that's, you know, Barrero had a post about that basically. It's saying, you know, they're doing it because they can do it. Right? Have they taken that mantra and said to themselves, we've tried to deal with these people. They're, you know, they're nutso. And if we leaked anything to them ahead of time, it's just going to sabotage anything. So it's just best to kind of drop it on there and we'll just deal with, you know, we'll take the arrows and then go forward. Or have they not even made a conscious decision? And this was just like, yeah, shit, we should have kind of consulted with a few people before we did that. I kind of think it's the former, where they're just going to do what they're doing, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little different because let's just say that the people in the C-suite at Zillow went your way, said, you know, screw these guys, right? They're never going to be happy no matter what we do. If they had really gone down that path, I think the response would not be what we've seen. Like Greg Schwartz wrote a post on Zillow in response to this, Right. Greg's got like better things to do with his time than be writing.
We come in peace. I love that.
Yeah.
That
line. So I actually think the second scenario might be closer to the truth. Again, you know, I don't know, right? I kind of feel like they just said, hey, we just need to run a test, right? And I do know the Zillow guys. One thing that those guys do a lot is test. Do you know what I mean? They test all kinds of things to see if they can actually get some real proof. And I think they ran these tests in these two markets, figuring this is going to make agents happy, right? Because now they're involved and they think it's going to be a listing lead generation machine. And if only 1 out of 10 people take an investor's offer, that means 9 out of 10 want to speak to a realtor, right? So I think they thought this was going to be a win-win for everybody. They didn't need to prep any sort of disaster, you know, crisis PR type scenario. And they just kind of did it. And I think they were caught off guard. I actually think that's what happened. Hmm. So my take on it is really is the C-suite was probably busy with things that C-suite people, you know, need to be busy about, whether that's, you know, big time M&A deals or...
I mean, that's a pretty big assumption, Rob. I mean, you're going to offer a product called Instant Offers.
It's not a product, though, in their mind. It's a test.
Okay, you're going to test. I mean, you know, this happened with, you know, this is an industry that freaked out on agent ratings and shut that down, right?
True, yeah.
So you're going to, I mean, I don't know how nose blind you can be to not think that this is not going to, you know, be a shitstorm. Right.
If you're saying that Zillow could have handled the rollout of this better, yeah, I mean, I have to agree, right? But I'm saying, I guess I'm only differing with you on the point that I don't think the C-suite is sitting there going, screw these guys, right?
Right.
And the reason I say that is because if the C-suite was sitting there saying, screw these guys, you know, I put this up on a Facebook group because it just amused me. The number of agents that are out there just cussing Zillow out. Do you know what I mean? Just, this is awful. Zillow's evil. You know, they're going to disintermediate us. They're going to get rid of us. You know, all this stuff. Okay. When I go click on their name or I Google them, it's like, look, here's your Zillow profile with 59 reviews. Like, take it down.
Right? You outed all these agents.
I mean, it's nonsense.
These closeted Zillow agents you've outed in front of everybody to see, Rob.
Yeah, but it's not closeted, horrible, right? I mean, you're on there with your profile. That's not exactly some private information.
It is funny because I hear that a lot in the MLS industry where there's like board of directors that are like constantly in the board meetings going, who are agents, right? Going,
right.
Zillow this and Zillow that. And then, you know, a lot of the MLS exec goes,
right.
Yeah, we knew you spent $6,000 with him last month.
Right.
You know, who the hell, what kind of like this posturing and this,
right.
They're like closeted Zillow agents,
right.
Which is hilarious.
Right. So I'm saying if the
C-suite. There's got to be a term for that. You got to come up with a term for that, right?
I don't, we, yeah. Homosexuals. I don't know.
That's so bad.
Clouded Zillow sexuals. I don't know. You know, come up with something. But it is, if the C-suite really wanted to say F you, I think they would just start terminating those relationships. You know what I mean? Like if they really felt like they could do whatever the hell they wanted and screw these guys, I feel like Jay Thompson would be out there like gleefully deleting profiles, you know? Oh, you cussed at us? Like you're gone, right? Yeah.
Poor Jay.
I know. But so I don't think that's... I think this is just... These guys probably thought they're running just a little test, you know, just two markets, just to get some data.
Nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah, and I think they're probably preparing for it. Hey, if this actually results in something, then we'll ramp up the marketing and PR campaign and go out with it. And I think they just underestimated the level of Zillow fever that's in the industry, you know? I really mean it. I think if Zillow bought Coke, then like real estate industry would switch to Pepsi. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's gotten to a sort of irrational point. And the analogy of Trump is actually not a bad one. Like there is nothing that Trump can do that isn't going to get criticized by people who hate him. Right? If he didn't fire Comey, people are going to hate him. If he did fire Comey, they're going to hate him. So you're screwed if you do, you're screwed if you don't. If you're Zillow, if you did nothing, people are going to hate you. And if you did something, people are going to hate you. So, you know, there's no winning, right?
Right.
My issue with all of this, so it's, to me, that's all entertaining. My issue with all of this is, like, screw Zillow to some extent. Like, you know, they're a website. They're out there trying to make money. Let them go do whatever the hell they want to do. What about the other stuff? What about the rest of this? Like I said, if you are a realtor in a local marketplace and you have a real relationship with your clients, with your sphere, with your neighbors, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. So the issue to me—
Zillow is just a tool for you, another tool that you can use.
Right. And you, if you want to pay for them, then pay for them. If you don't want to pay for them, what do you care? Because you were getting referrals out the ass anyway. Yeah. The issue to me is, why are so few realtors that? Why are so few people in the industry, you know, the types of people who could say, look, I'm whatever, these 300 people think of me as my realtor. I have nothing to worry about.
And again, I don't think it's just a real estate problem. I mean, this, the 80-20 rule is the 80-20 rule for
That's
a reason.
Right. Right? That's right. So, yeah. Look, lawyers are the same way. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, like the vast majority of lawyers don't sit around going like, I have nothing to worry about because I know these people, these companies think of me as, oh yeah, he's my lawyer. You know, but a few that do, they're not worried about whatever legal Zoom and all this nonsense. They're just not. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like the focus on around all of this, it needs to stop being some fancy ass web tech tool. It needs to be around, what are the actual professionals on the ground doing to prove value and to show that they are professionals, to show the consumers and their sphere and people around them that they care? If they do that, this is a non-story. This is a non-issue. And you know, Zillow as a whole is probably a non-story. Realtor, Zillow, whatever, that becomes some, you know, insider baseball type stuff that only like 10 people in the world care about. The fact that so many people care so deeply about this, to me, that's what's bothersome, right? That's what's bothersome.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we're coming up on a little bit of a longer episode than we normally do, but I think this has been a great topic. And I think we covered a lot of variety here of different ways to look at it. So,
for sure. And then, you know, I suspect we'll probably talk about this some more. Who knows? I mean, you know, Zillow's not stopping this test. And I mean, could you imagine though, like you're predicting this is going to be a huge success. However many agents are in this trial, right? If all those people come out of this going, I got 30 listings from Instant Offers, like this becomes their most profitable product to date.
Yeah, I just don't, I mean, they've got such an infrastructure now, right?
Yeah.
With their premier agents to give them something even further. I think, you know, they've already got them eating that dog food. I mean, it's going to go well. It's going to go really well.
Okay. For you, like just total, sort of ancillary, but from an industry relations standpoint, if you're realtor.com, if you're Homesnap, you know, doing broker public portal, if you're Coldwell Banker, if you're Keller Williams, if you're, you know, home services, if you're, you know, in other words, if you are a big web operation yourself, right? And Zillow comes out of this trial. And like I said, agents are like, I'm getting 30 listings from this. Do you copy them?
Well,
or do you try to shut them down?
Right. No. So two things. First of all, if they get two listings, it's a fucking success.
It's true. That's
okay.
True, right?
I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be 30.
Right.
Second thing is that Zillow, this was an original idea of Zillow. So, I mean, we're first inning with this stuff, right? It's barely getting started. So Opendoor had an idea. These other kind of companies had an idea. Zillow made a nice twist to it. I am positive, and if they're not going to do this, they're stupid. They're going to put a twist to Zillow's idea, right? That's how innovation happens. It's just a little bit of a twist to existing kind of thing that makes it successful. You had taxi cabs, now you have Uber, right?
Right.
Similar kind of things here. So, no, I think, you know, to shut it down, I don't know if you can shut something like this down. No, they should basically look at this and go for it. I mean, I've never, as myself, as a technology person, you know, that owns a software company, when I looked and I saw similar products out there, I thought that was a good thing. Okay, there's a market for this, right? Now I've got Zillow, a great company that's doing a test for me to see what, you know, and I can learn from their kind of things, and I'm gonna put my twist on it. I mean, it's gonna be great for the whole, I mean, as far as other vendors, other kind of portals and stuff, I think that they're gonna learn a lot and they're gonna come up with their own thing, or they should. That's what Zillow did.
Right.
Right. So absolutely, they should think we're gonna see more innovation in this space.
So final question that as we leave off, shouldn't Google buy you guys and do this themselves?
Google?
Yeah. Every house search, every time you type in an address, Google Instant Offer. Click on it and fill out a form.
It's Greg at WNRstudios.com. So if Sergey or, you know, anybody listening, just give me a call, man.
And if he does, Greg, I want you to remember, okay, yeah. Came up with the idea.
Oh, no, no. You're definitely, you're chief consigliere of the new GMA that we'll be creating. Exactly.
That's awesome. All right. I mean, we could go on, but this, I know we're coming kind of to an end here. What are your final thoughts about Instant Offer?
I think it's going to be a monster. And I think, you know, again, I think they could have done better with the rollout, but I think it's going to be a monster.
Yeah, I sort of agree. And we'll see what the kerfuffle is, you know, as it becomes rolled out. All right, man. Great talking to you.
All right. Hey, and again, thanks to all the listeners out there. We've been getting some great feedback on the last couple episodes, and we really appreciate that feedback, and keep it coming.
And thanks to our sponsors, because without them.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's Centralized Sewing Service, our first sponsor, and we really appreciate those guys being the charter sponsor for industry relations. Thanks again to Kevin Hughes and his team over there.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
All right, everyone.
Thanks. Bye, Rob. Bye. We'll